Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Glad to be live with you today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about them on our website. Go to kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. There you'll find the CUW logo. And click on that. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, the great work that they are doing. Well, why is it important for pro-life physicians to meet for continuing education and networking and support? Well, did you know that there are organizations specifically for pro-life physicians? The American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the American College of Pediatricians. These are just two organizations that recently teamed up for an education conference and graciously invited me to come along and hear what they were learning in this conference. Tremendous speakers, presenters, amazing scholars that brought together information, science, and research that we're not hearing in much of mainstream media. I hope you can join us for the conversation today as we learn what was shared at this recent conference. It was just outstanding, not just today, but in some more episodes later this week and next week as well. We'll find out more about what was shared at this conference. Joining us by phone today, Dr. Michelle Cretella. She's the president of the American College of Pediatricians, Pediatricians, yes. and a tradition here on Faith and Family as well. Dr. Cretella, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you so much, Andy. It's great to be here this morning.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to sharing with our listeners about the recent conference that that we attended and that you all graciously invited me to, and can't wait to share so many of the speakers that were at the event as well. Joining us also, Dr. Donna Harrison, Executive Director of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Dr. Harrison, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely. I always enjoy talking with you and learning about APLOG and the work that APLOG is doing. And thanks so much for the invitation to attend this conference, the Matthew Bulfin Educational Conference. This is a conference that's been going on for some time now as part of APLOG's history, right, Donna?
Yes, that's right. Matthew Bulfin was one of the founders of APLOG back in 1973. And it was his vision to be able to give OBGYNs and any other physicians the ability to actually look at the science behind abortion and what it does, how it damages women, as well as damaging and killing unborn children.
And this was, I believe this is the first year that APLOG teamed up with American College of Pediatricians. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct, and it's been so great to work with Michelle and with her team. The excitement's just been wonderful, and to meet other like-minded colleagues who are also in this cultural battle for life, it's just been so encouraging.
And it just makes sense that that obstetrician and gynecologists would partner with pediatricians. It's just it's a continuation of that next stage of life, right?
Exactly. I know it's a natural alliance, really, and I'm not quite sure why it took as long for us to get together. I mean, we are just thrilled, and all the participants, the speakers, were just all so happy and pleased with the outcome that Donna and I intend to keep this an annual alliance. intend to keep it going.
I'd like to hear from both of you why it is important to you in your profession that that physicians, pediatricians, OBGYNs, why meet for continuing education and networking, specifically when approaching this from a pro-life, approaching your vocation from a pro-life perspective? We'll start with Dr. Cretella.
Yeah, well, the reason it's so important is because medicine has not been exempt from the culture war. And political correctness is what dominates the research. And so the only way we can truly vet the studies that do get published and have any knowledge of research that might actually support a pro-life point of view is for us to connect with each other. A lot of patients, a lot of laypersons may not know that all the major medical organizations, the ones the media will tout as mainstream, they're actually run by individuals or controlled by individuals who are pro-abortion, pro-contraception, like to even to young children, and therefore the research that gets published tends to be agenda-driven. It's only going to be one side of the story, and those of us within medicine who come from a different worldview, we're not even allowed to pose questions for to be investigated.
And what I learned in this conference is that the worldview that you have is not solely rooted in philosophy, but
right.
Is in the science as well. The research and the science yeah. is very clear on these
yeah.
issues, the biology, and we'll get to that, you know, with the mm-hmm. Dr. Alma Golden and the importance of family structure in the health and well-being of children. An entire CDC report that was overlooked by mainstream media
right.
regarding the structure of family.
You're exactly. I mean, in fact, the CDC purposely released it at just before 5 p.m. on a Friday before a major holiday. So, I mean, we're not promoting conspiracy theories here. It's just, you know, mm-hmm. it when those in power have a particular agenda, damaging research or research that is scientifically based but contrary to their agenda will not be shared with the general public, and it's also not shared with academia or mm-hmm. physicians.
Dr. Harrison, why is it important to you as a professional, as a physician, as an obstetrician, gynecologist, why is it important for you to meet for education and networking, not just with other OBGYNs, but with other medical professionals as well?
Well, we are inundated, as Dr. Cotella was saying, with a agenda-driven medical education. And part of that agenda-driven medical education is to stuff abortion down our throats. And despite all of the years of, you know, 40 years since Roe versus Wade and 40 years of our major medical organization, ACOG, despite them trying to force OBGYNs to do abortions, 85% of OBGYNs don't do abortions. And it's not because they don't know how. It's because they've chosen not to kill their second patient. Mm-hmm. So we, as OBGYNs in our individual practices, don't realize that so we're actually in the majority, that the majority of OBGYNs practice good medicine, and we don't advocate for abortion for our patients. And that kind of isolation, we're attempting to break through that isolation and to show other of our colleagues that, yes, there are intelligent, brilliant people who say abortion is not good for the child, of course, because the child's killed and the child is one of our patients, but abortion isn't good for women either. And it's that information that about abortion's effects on women that we try to encourage our members and other medical professionals to take a look at. And you have good reason to defend the life of both the mother and her unborn child.
Absolutely.
What was this recent conference, the Matthew Bulfin Education Conference that took place in February in Houston, this year being the first joint conference between American Association of Pro-Life Obstetrician Gynecologists and American College of Pediatricians. What was the highlight of the conference for you, Dr. Harrison? What was it that you were, before the conference, you were really looking forward to and that that you always appreciate about this conference?
I always appreciate is the students and the student participation because here are medical students and residents in training, and they come and for the first time their eyes are open to the fact that there is an agenda behind medical education, and here is good evidence-based information backed by 40 years of research that they're not hearing about. So it's a real eye-opening experience for them, and they're always so grateful. And this year particularly, we had a couple of students from Australia who traveled all the way from Australia to come to this conference. And they were incredibly grateful for the information that we can provide them so that they can give an evidence-based defense for both the mother and her unborn child. And it's exciting to me to be part of educating that next generation of physicians.
I had a chance to speak with several people at the conference, and was amazed that at that formation, the education and the formation of a medical professional, that how much political agenda is a part of that education, that formation in becoming a physician. It was just I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was a bit frightened at what students and others shared about that process.
Yeah, you actually should be a bit frightened, because the focus in medicine has turned from the Hippocratic ethic to a sort of a population-based ethic. And this is the same kind of transition that we've seen in other horrible dictatorships. I mean, Nazi Germany, one of the first things that happened was they took the medical profession and downplayed the Hippocratic Oath and said, now you are a doctor of the state. And we're seeing the same kind of rhetoric going on right now.
Yeah.
So our emphasis is to go back and to reestablish the Hippocratic Oath as the basis of medical ethics. And that oath says, I, as a physician, have a sacred vow to my patient that I will not hurt them. And for an OB-GYN, that's both the pregnant mother and her unborn child.
Hmm. Dr. Right. Patella, how about for you? What was this your first conference, the first time attending the Matthew Bulfin Education Conference?
Yes, it was. The American College of Pediatricians has had other board members who've attended in the past, but this is the first one that I was able to actually attend. And I would say I concur. Having students there and being able to impact them and help them see that no, they do not have to go along with this agenda, that it is there is sound science backing the pro-life point of view from both the health of the mother as well as the life of the child is key. And I think one of the highlights for me, and I know a number of the other participants too, was the opportunity to screen the documentary called Hush, which was actually put together by an investigative reporter who still considers herself pro-choice. But what was truly wonderful and hopeful for me, or inspired some sense of hope, was that here was a pro-choice investigative reporter who was open-minded enough to look at the science and document the truth behind the abortion breast cancer link, the truth behind the link between abortion and future premature births. She's basically coming out and saying, hey, you know what? Those pro-lifers who claim that abortion can be bad for women, they've got good science here. So to have someone from the other side produce a film that says, look at this, this is science. This is something, this is one area of common ground we should be able to agree on. That's a very positive, it's something I see as a very positive, perhaps, turning point or tipping point in this battle.
I had a chance to view the film as well at the conference. Hushfilm.com, I think, is the website.
Thank you.
And really interesting approach to film. The producer is pro-life, and as you said, the investigative reporter who directed it is and still claims to be pro-choice. Mm. But I think, after her research and after her investigation, looking at all of this legitimate research, legitimate science, coming to the realization that not everything is as popular voices have made it. Not as, there are some serious risks for women.
For women.
When it comes to women's health. And Dr. Angela Lanfranchi is a breast surgeon, I believe, practicing in New Jersey. She was interviewed in that documentary and present at the conference as well. Yeah. And I had a chance to talk with her. We'll share her interview in a later program here on Faith and Family as well. The facts when it comes to science and women's health and how those facts are being hidden.
Yes.
It was quite frightening.
It is. It's very frightening, and it's also infuriating. And I think what I love about this film, and I encourage lay people, men, as many as possible, to try and have it screened locally, is that it really brings out this whole alleged war against women, in which we pro-lifers are supposed to be waging war against women. Well, if you look at this film, and it's undeniable, you see quite clearly how mainstream medicine and academia, they're the ones claiming, oh, no harm to women. They're the ones who are waging war against women's health because hiding the evidence.
I think, too, part of it is a suppression of information because people who support abortion are afraid to engage on a level playing ground. They're afraid to actually come out and listen to the research, because the research is so clear. I mean, in preterm birth, there's over 144 studies over the last four decades which have shown that women who abort versus women who give birth, women who abort are at increased risk of a very preterm birth in subsequent pregnancies. And the same with breast cancer. Women who abort prior to bringing a baby all the way to term, so the teenager who aborts her first or second pregnancy and then delays childbearing, she has a greatly increased risk of breast cancer. And the women who abort for mental health reasons, those women, even unwanted pregnancies, women who abort unwanted pregnancies versus women who give birth to unwanted pregnancies, the women who abort are at greatly increased risk of suicide, substance abuse, and hospitalizable major depression. And that's what the research shows. So when we're talking data, people who defend the mother and her unborn child are on the high ground. And so if you support abortion, you just try not to let that information be known to the general public. But the thing about pro-life medicine is we're right. I mean, we really do practice evidence-based medicine, and ultimately it will win. It's just a matter of us getting out the word that abortion hurts women.
How, Dr. Harrison, how are the presenters and the topics chosen for this conference? I mean, those were obviously very timely topics, but and the research is critical to the conversation. How do you choose the presenters for the conversation?
Well, this was the beautiful thing about working with Michelle, because Michelle knew those presenters who had topics pertinent to pediatrics and the raising of children. And I knew those presenters who did an excellent job talking about conscience and talking about the effects of abortion on women. And so together, we both identified leaders, people who are publishing and making a difference in their field. And it was wonderful to work with you, Michelle.
And it's here, too. I know, you know, combining forces, it truly is. That's what allowed us to come up with an even better slate or more diverse slate of speakers than in the past, for absolutely.
Later in the program today, we'll hear from Dr. Jane Anderson. She's been a guest on Faith and Family before, a clinical professor at the University of California, San Francisco, and she presented on adolescent brain development. And so I had a chance to sit down with her at the conference and kind of recap some of that presentation on adolescent brain development. Just fascinating, especially the fact that just about the time that in this very crucial time in life when the adolescent brain is still developing when it comes to decision making, we send young people out into, you know, send them away from their families off to college. And Dr. Anderson addresses that and really looks at the science of the development of the adolescent brain. Quite fascinating.
Andy, I have to say something else so concerning to me, and I know Michelle will echo this from the point of ACPs, but our major medical organization, the American College of OB-GYN, as well as the pediatric organization, have recommended long-term hormonal contraceptives, like they're called LARCs or the injectable contraceptives, which put hormones into the bodies of these 13-year-old girls without parental consent and without the girl really being able to do informed consent, altering in a way that nobody knows because these drugs have not been studied in the pediatric population, altering women's bodies without, almost in an experimental way, and our major medical organizations are supporting this. It's just, even if I weren't pro-life, it is just incredible to me that the political, agenda that ACOG is driven by would cause them to support using long-acting, powerful hormones in a 13-year-old's body without her being able to give informed consent and without the parents' knowledge. It's just obscene.
And that's certainly one of the topics that Dr. Anderson addresses in our conversation a little bit, is the parental laws, the laws concerning parental involvement in that doctor's visit, in any medical care for adolescents. It's very clear that there's an agenda there.
And just to sort of tack on to what Dr. Harrison was speaking about, the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is the pro-abortion, pro-contraception, mainstream, quote-unquote, pediatric organization, the AAP for short, is rather schizophrenic on the topic of the teen brain. On the one hand, they have a statement acknowledging that adolescents are cognitively immature and need parental guidance, and that firm parental guidance in terms of drugs and alcohol and smoking is highly successful at keeping teens clean, so to speak, and on the straight and narrow. And yet, when it comes to checkups, like physical exams, as pediatricians, the same organization tells us that, well, your 11- and 12-year-old patients are getting more mature now and are entitled to confidential care. So be sure to do at least part of the visit alone with the child. And as Donna was saying, when it comes to matters of, quote-unquote, reproductive health with these children as young as 11 or 12, right on up to 18 or age 21, some pediatricians, we can see them and just prior to age 21. When it comes to things like abortion, contraception, testing for sexually transmitted diseases, any of those matters can be kept perfectly confidential and not shared with the parent, but only between you and the child. But the American Academy of Pediatrics doesn't seem to have any problem with their schizophrenia on that issue.
There are definitely ethical questions that are at hand. We only have just about a minute left before, in order to get to the interviews with Dr. Anderson and also Dr. Ryan Nash. He's the director of the Ohio State University Center for Bioethics at the Ohio State University College of Medicine, and one of the presenters on ethics at the conference, and had a chance to sit down with him as well. So conversations with both of them, Dr. Anderson and Dr. Nash, coming up in just a little bit.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much to both of you for the invitation to the conference and for your time today. I really appreciate the opportunity and looking forward to sharing more conversations from the conference with our listeners today. Dr. Michelle Curtella, the president of the American College of Pediatricians, thanks for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you, Andy. Thank you so much.
Dr. Donna Harrison, executive director of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, our conversations from the conference, from the Matthew Bulfin Education Conference. We'll talk with Dr. Jane Anderson, a clinical professor at the University of California, San Francisco, on adolescent brain development, Dr. Ryan Nash on ethics. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.